finally, Father, we come to your word this morning. You have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning. Pray that we would come to your word this morning in such a way that we expect you to speak to us through it, that we would have ears that are attentive, eyes that are willing to look and see you in it. Father, let us come to your word in such a way that we would hear it, read it, mark it, learn from it, inwardly digest it. That by the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I pray for your servant, that you would equip him to proclaim your word this morning, our Lord and our Savior, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. You take your Bible once more, this time turn with me, not to Matthew or to Acts, but to Luke chapter 1. As you see there in your bulletin, we'll be reading from Luke chapter 1. And once you've located that, I ask that you would please stand out of respect for God's word as we hear it read this morning. Luke chapter 1 is a long chapter. 80 verses. We'll be starting at verse 26, coming in kind of in the middle of the chapter here, in the middle of all of the action that is going on recorded for us by Luke here in this first chapter. We will talk about it in just a second. So coming to God's word again, Luke chapter 1, starting at verse 26, I remind you that this is the inerrant, infallible, and authoritative word of the living God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." And they said to her, "None of your relatives is called by this name." And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came on all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him." And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And may God bless to our understanding once more the reading of his inerrant and infallible word. Please be seated. It's a long chapter, and it's a long passage, but a necessary hearing. I was looking at it, trying to shorten it. I had mercy on you, thinking, oh my goodness, they have to stand for those 50-some verses. And then I remembered, I stand for the whole thing. So my mercy was short-lived. But this, all seriousness, though, it was necessary that we read all of this. We need to see how all of this hangs together. Luke wrote this very, very long first chapter because he really wanted us to see how all this went together. This is important. Now, this morning, we are in the third week of Advent. Right? We are drawing ever closer to the birth of the Savior that was promised way back, that we looked at a few weeks ago, that Savior that was promised to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And we've been tracing this Advent season, the fulfillment of that promise, how it was given in Genesis 3. We looked at and we began with the reason that promise was given, right? The real reason for the season, Adam and Eve's fall into sin, our separation from God through them and through our own guilt and sin and separation. We are separated from God. We need a Savior. We need someone to rescue us from that and to reconcile us back. It's because of our sin and our separation from God that we need someone who will pay the price for our sins. We need a Savior, basically, who can undo what Adam and Eve caused there in the garden. That Savior was promised to us, even in the garden, in Genesis 3 that we looked at a few weeks ago. And so we went from Genesis 3 and that promise, that gospel promise given in seed form in Genesis 3. And we jumped, it seems like we skipped over all of the Old Testament and jumped into Matthew 1. But I used Matthew 1 to show us and kind of give us a roadmap, the high points of what was happening between Genesis 3 and Matthew 1, because that genealogy in Matthew 1 does a great job of showing how God had faithfully worked throughout time, throughout the circumstances, to bring about the birth of that Savior that was promised way back in Genesis 3. When we come to Matthew's genealogy, not just a list of hard-to-pronounce names to people that we really don't know, we saw last week Matthew's genealogy, we saw God's providence at work. we saw it at work through all of those names, through the fulfillment.